This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
This episode of the KMP Show is brought to you by you guys. We're still doing that, right? The Amazon affiliacy?
Yeah, of course.
Go to amazon.knpshow.com. Bookmark the click-through link. It'll redirect you. Every time you buy something on Amazon, you'll be helping out the show as well as the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. So go to amazon.knpshow.com right now. Bookmark that click-through link. We thank you. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 41 of the KMP Show. I am your host, John Playtech, and with me, as always, is my good friend, Mr. Rich Kreich. Hello, sir.
How's it going?
It's good. You know what? I'm pissed, though, because I didn't get to see the damn eclipse, because the weather over Chicago was hazy, and I missed it. So I just have to go to the internet
it was,
and look at pictures. I
saw a little bit. I went out at work a little bit. While it was actually like the, you know, the 118 or whatever was when it was like as total as it was going to be around the Chicago area, we were going to get like, what, 89%?
Something like that.
Like at that point, it kind of cleared up a little bit. And I had heard that like when an eclipse happens, like it kind of cuts through the sun or it cuts through the clouds rather. I don't know what the hell. It was some like thing that I don't possibly understand because I don't know anything about like science or whatever. But it was like, you know, even if it's sunny, you'll still be able to see it at its like peak because it will do something where some layer of the atmosphere that creates clouds or whatever will get cut. And it was like for like 2 minutes, it was like crystal clear. You're like, oh, cool, here we go, and or whatever. And the second it was past that point, it was just cloudy. You couldn't see anything.
Really?
So it kind of sucked, yeah.
Oh, well. You know, it was I wonder what Kyrie was doing through all this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I wonder.
What was Kyrie doing? Was he just looking at everybody like, nah, y'all busters. You don't know what you're getting played.
I did want to explore what flat earthers were thinking on this day because it is a terrible day for them, as most lunar eclipses probably are as well.
Right.
You know, when like
basically any lunar event happens,
right?
Like
when
it's the super moon or anything like that, they don't want to hear anything about it. No.
No, this was a blog that was, I believe, true. Like, I don't think it was like a parody thing. Like, it wasn't like an Onion or whatever.
Okay.
I spent far too much time like vetting this to make sure it was a real deal here. And their thing was, well, how can we see it if the moon and the sun are so much higher than us? Like, how are we all three of us aligned? I swear to God, that's what they were saying. They're like, well, we look up and it's so many millions of miles up, and I just don't have the heart to tell them how, you know.
Yeah. Wow, that's commitment to the bit. That's commitment
when in the face of all
evidence, you just have to go, no.
It's not a flat plane.
No, it's because they're too far away. It's because they're too far away. All right, I got to go. Can't do this no more. Don't want to hear it. That's awful. We got a lot to get to today. We're going to talk about Madden 18. We're going to talk a little bit about Hugh Freeze getting his freak on with a...
Or recruits freak on, maybe. We don't know.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe some recruits getting... We're going to do a judge's chamber because we probably killed Aaron Judge. He was on life support for a while.
Yeah, we're so sorry, Yankees fans. Well, I mean, that's what you get for being the Yankees. Fuck the Yankees.
Right.
And, you know, you guys have had enough championships, all right?
Mm-hmm.
It was really just a big ruse by John and I to make sure that
we built him up and then tore him down.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to cut the heart right out. But we do have some insight as to what might be going on here, and that will dovetail nicely with a little bit of talk about the umpires in Major League Baseball being very, 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 very upset that players are
mean. In a lot of their pants. Their pants were getting poopy over the weekend. That's all right.
But you know what? They were wearing Depends because most of them are pretty old and...
Geriatric.
Yeah. Or that
job that requires incredible eyesight. Most of them are old and fat. So.
Right? And Joe West has got to be diabetic. And doesn't diabetes affect your eyesight?
It does.
At some point? Yeah. And what are those things what was Tony Siragusa pimping for a while? It's like they're like man pons or like man pads. Like it's not like full-on Depends. It's like
it's like if you have an accident, like if you thought a George Brett style, where like you think you got a fart and it turns out to be a little more.
Right,
is that what he was talking?
There was something else. It was like for the front too. It's like
you dribble. Yeah, like, I think like when you get a certain age, I think it just kind of dribbles out or whatever. Or I don't know. Yeah, I have no clue.
Or if you just had copious amounts of sex, you can't control it anymore. Like, I guess it's happening.
Which happens to the best of us. I mean, I for one can attest to that.
Right, having
always.
All the
so
time, all the sex that's going on. Yeah, just a huge player. Mm-hmm.
So that probably is the issue with me, is why.
I think Joe West is probably doubling up on those, like one front and back, just to make sure that he can get it through a game.
My favorite part about umpires, while we're sideswiping and driving a truck over umpires, is front butt. Umpire front butt is the greatest thing in the history of
and it's only like, professional sport where you see front butt. You don't see front butt really on any other professional sports referee. Because like
even the referees
in the NBA that have a beer gut, because they're going there's not as many NBA referees that have the solidified beer gut. There's still a few. There's one or two.
Yeah, the NBA has gotten better, but what you do see though is in like the lower ranks of basketball. You watch high school basketball, you watch college basketball, and it's all like the big gutted basketball guys. You're like, dude, you run like 8 miles every night. Like, how are you possibly fat?
Yeah, drink a 34 case of Keystone after
the
game.
You have to. Like, how many calories does a referee burn on a daily basis?
And then they eat 3 pounds of rice. And
they have to, right? Yeah. Like, they just carb load before. They're like, I got to maintain. I don't know. Yeah, but yeah, the front butt is a very, very special to the baseball umpires.
The younger umpires seem to have it under control. The guys that are, like, on this side of 40 that are – I think there's a couple in the game. Those guys I see, they seem to at least be not huge. But your guys like Joe West, I mean, I think Joe West's entire crew is fat, like all of them. There is a large contingent of front butt in bait. And you know what? Just put it under the gut.
Right. Or like,
that's it.
Let the belt be a little loose. Like, it doesn't have to be that tight, guys.
Right. You don't have to create a straight gig line. I mean, you're not in the damn military, for the love of God. You can look a little bit. And plus, don't they have the discretion? Can't some of them wear the coats? I thought that's what the coats were for.
Yeah. Some can wear like the sport coat or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
put that
sport coat or some do like the windbreaker too, like the full on like over the top windbreaker too. Right.
That's ridiculous then. Then there's no excuse for front butt. Because front butt happens when a fat guy tries to wear his pants at the exact same level he could when he was not fat. And it looks as though because the way the belt loops around, the pelvic fat, when you get that big, looks like its own little butt on your pelvis. And for some reason, Charlie Weiss is a big example, literally a big example.
Charlie Weiss is king front butt. Yes. Yeah, that is the god, the patron saint of front butt is Charlie Weiss.
And it's just because he's decided that I'm going to wear my pants straight and level, so he could probably get away with like 12 inches fewer in his waistline in terms of buying his pants, but because he chooses to wear them at the exact same like belly button height, you get the front butt look, and there's a lot of that going around in MLB.
Is anybody stupid enough to hire Charlie Weiss anymore? He's been done for a few years.
I thought he was
now,
at
right?
Kansas.
He was at Kansas, and then he left there for sure. And I don't know if he's done anything since then. Like, I don't. There's got to be like some NFL team that's got him like looking at tape or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Like, those guys are lifers. Like, they don't go away, right? They got to kind of.
Yeah, it looks like. Weiss was fired on September 28th of 2014 for lack of on-field progress, and he has not been picked up since.
There you go.
When the Kansas football program says, "Hey, come
on,
buddy."
Yeah, yeah. When you're you're going like 3-9 at Kansas, and they're like, "Ah, you're not really doing anything like that." Yeah, you're pretty well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kansas, the epitome of a basketball school. They don't care about football, but even then, when they have to tell you, like, "Oh God, this is bad." You got to go.
I'm surprised that some college team doesn't just have him on like on their staff or whatever. You know, like, because that's still a guy that I think are like
right.
The Patriots. Because the Patriots will always bring you back just to, like, do something. Like, you know,
yeah.
You don't talk to anybody. You just sit in a room and, like, cut up some tape. And they're like, oh, this play's good. They're like, I think.
Yeah.
Like,
no way. You know, he could hook up with John Gruden. John Gruden's got that coaching thing that he's trying.
Oh, the QB the thing where he sits in a room. And
with QBs.
Hey, now what should you have done there, man?
But he also tries to bring in, like, fired head coaches from the college and NFL ranks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, come on down and like, let's watch tape and stuff. It's like a resume
builder
for coaches.
Well, that must be how big of a turd Charlie Weiss is that like nobody wants to even call Charlie right. Weiss anymore. Because like the coaching football fraternity, like you're there for life. Like those dudes will get a job until they drop dead.
Yeah.
But Charlie Weiss, you know, no call from Charlie. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was he's the head coach or tight ends coach for the Patriots, offensive coordinator.
That's what
for the
I mean.
Jets.
Like you can throw it like you're like DB coach. Like those guys will just like that's right. Just they don't even show up, probably. They just want, they're like, hey, you know, you do it a favor. Like, yeah, you can be the tight ends. Does the tight ends really need a specific coach?
The Zook has got a tight end coaching gig in the NFL.
That's what I mean. Like, Ron Zook just had called in a favor, and they're like, yeah, you want to be the tight ends coach?
He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's doing with tight ends.
Are you kidding me? Like, what could you possibly teach a tight end? Once they kind of know the playbook, which, and they can just sit with the receivers, right? Like, does it have to be, it has to be a separate thing. All right, tight ends go over here, right here. All right.
Okay, so now that we're done with the offensive line portion, now let's do the exact same thing with.
Do I block or do I go down the middle for a check down? You block. Okay, cool, got it. Like, two things. That's it. We're good.
Especially with the modern prototype.
Modern tight end.
Yeah,
right.
These guys are wide receivers. They've got to be in the receiver group.
Like, I fake that I'm blocking and then I just go right down the middle and you get it to me on a streak. Like, yeah, perfect. There you go. Done. Like, cool.
But the NFL, but you're not going to get paid like a wide receiver. Jimmy Graham found that out real quick.
Yeah.
But you know what? Maybe you can hire him in your Madden 18 franchise.
Ooh.
Bam.
Like right there.
Because Madden 18, we are on the eve, because I forgot to pre-order it. I might pick it up tomorrow just because it's available, but I don't know if I want to pay an extra $25. Maybe I can find some things to trade in. But Madden 18 is here if you have pre-ordered.
Wait, is it a different amount of money if you don't pre-order?
No. It's there was a pre-order special that Best Buy was running that if you turned in the old Madden, you would get like $25 towards your pre-order of the new Madden.
You got to go do that right now.
Best Buy's closed, bro. They will be closed when we're done with this podcast. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, I'm not really
$25, sir. That is a make or break. Right there.
But in order for you to get it tomorrow, you have to get the greatest of all time edition, the GOAT edition. GOAT edition is like $79. And so you're $25.
Also, in actuality, you're paying the exact same amount.
Right. You're paying the exact same amount, but you get it 3 days early. So I don't know. Maybe they'll run it just that day, because we're way past the running out of stock on release day. We're well past that. The video game.
Oh, with digital downloads too, because I mean, you got to imagine. I don't know the numbers, but yeah, not half, but probably a little. Probably, and honestly, probably pretty close to half of the people just do the digital download anyway. And because there it's and that's really the way to go for some of these games. And it's because I'm a physical game guy. I know you are as well. I just like kind of feeling it and touching it, and knowing I have it or whatever. But if there's a game that you really want, like the minute it comes out, the digital download is the best way to go.
Yep.
Because you can like pre-download it, where it's that thing where it's like ready to go. So it's like Tuesday at 12:01, boom, game's now registered to go. Like, you can be downloading it all day today, and then once that the clock hits midnight or whatever, it's ready to go and you can play it. So I mean, that really changes the whole game. But I like the idea of going to the store and physically buying it, but I'm an old school man like that.
Right, and especially if you can get you're getting a deal on the GOAT edition, you are, with the Best Buy pre-order thing. It's just, you know, you've got the disc thing, and the disc games are always loud, especially louder than ones run off the hard drive. And then if you're one of the people that you've modded your PlayStation 4 to have a solid state drive, you can have quicker, easier access to your game libraries. But, you know, I just got a 2 terabyte like laptop hard drive, so it's not that big a thing. It's just I want to have a larger active queue of games installed on my PlayStation. But Madden 18 right now has an 82 on Metacritic. Is that from people that already have the game?
That is reviewers? It's reviewers. It's like review websites that have already gotten it ahead of time, got review copies. I'm actually gonna update that as we, because I know obviously some are still kind of trickling in here. Let's see if it's radically changed since then. But that sounds about,
because there are some people, I mean, the video game industry isn't, you know, the movie industry, they're not going to not send, a studio is not going to not send a screener to some outlet because they gave a shitty review to something. But the video game industry, they will cut you out of the loop if you give a crappy, or if they view it as unfair, and they view any negative review as unfair.
82 right now. Okay. So it's still hovering around there. So yeah, 82 was what it was before. So
which is about, you know, when I was reading game magazines, an 8 out of 10 or an 80 out of 100 is about what you would give to an average game.
Yeah, you don't want to bury games. Like, that's always what's funny about game journalism. It's kind of like what you mentioned there, is very rarely is it like, this game sucks, 40 out of, you know, like, you're not going to give it a 40, you're not going to give it a 4 out of 10, you're not going to, like, even if it's a game that you're like, yeah, it's all right, it's whatever, the scale for whatever is like 8.
Mm-hmm.
9 is like, oh, that was good, and 10's like, oh, this is really good. Like, the problem is they've kind of created a thing where, like, you can't say, like, oh my god, this is like the best game I've ever played, because everything gets like 95s and 99s or whatever. But yeah, you will rarely ever, from like a big time game, whether it be Game Informer, GameSpot, you know, all these new sites popping up, Polygon and all these sort of guys, and even like an Operation Sports or whatever, guys that require access for these games, they're never going to bury something. So, yeah, the hidden message is like 80 is like, eh, it was okay.
Right.
It's fine.
And here's the thing is that the people that are reviewing, regular game reviewers, not all of them are the biggest sports fans. Maybe some of them play a lot of sports games, but that's a lot of the your average Madden player is going to look for different things or might look for different things than your standard game reviewer
right.
at Kotaku, at Polygon, or at whatever, Vice Video Games, they even have that, Vox Media, all that stuff. So 82 is not bad for Madden, but it's, you know, given where we are in the life cycle of Madden, I would hope for more firing on all cylinders right out of the gate from Madden, especially now with all the special editions and all the things you can buy, like it's any other, you know, like it's Skyrim all of a sudden, or you know, Diablo 3. But it's really interesting, Rich, you mentioned that nobody really buries video games anymore. That's a lot like Madden in that there's no bad teams anymore. There's no bad teams in Madden. There are teams that won't sim well, but your worst team overall is still going to be like a 73, 4, 5, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me take a look at what the...
Yeah, players too, I think that way. I remember there was a study done quite a few years ago. I forgot which website did it, but looked at like player ratings or whatever. And guys, like the worst player is still like 62 or, you know, 58, or they won't go to like... I know sometimes in Madden, they used to have like some really old retired like quarterback, the guy that hadn't played in the league in like 7 years.
Yeah.
And just didn't file his retirement papers, and they put him at like 38 or whatever. But like, yeah, it really doesn't go beyond that, which is pretty interesting. You have this 100-point scale, but games don't really utilize that much at all. And Madden is one of the worst offenders of that. It just really does not utilize it whatsoever.
Yeah, the Los Angeles Rams and the New York Jets bottom out the roster of teams in Madden 18, numbers 31 and 32 at 75 overall.
Right, which is like good.
75 overall, 75 out of 100 gets you a degree from colleges. Like if you go in and do 75 out of 100 in college, you get a degree. But in Madden, they're symbolic of the worst teams. And the Bears are 77. The Jaguars, Cleveland Browns, 49ers, all at 76 and 77. Top teams, of course, the Patriots at 93, the Falcons at 91, the Cowboys at 89. That may get
rolled
back.
Yeah,
that
might be a roster update. That might do a dent on that, but we'll see.
You know what? That's probably going to be a day one update, is getting Zeke Elliott off the damn roster, because they do not play when it comes to guys getting accused of heinous shit. They don't play around with that. They don't play the innocent until proven guilty, whatever. EA Sports gets them off the damn roster real quick. So the Cowboys are probably going to fall off.
Especially in like a YouTube world now where it's like, you know, then people just be uploading, or like a Twitch, or, you know, like people uploading videos of like Ezekiel Elliott just like
stiff-arming,
running
people
down
in
runners
the face.
Like, oh, he's beating on these people. And it's like, oh, God damn it. Like, we should have taken him out of this game.
But like if he can run into cheerleaders off the sideline.
Right. There's going to be a whole Twitch channel devoted to Ezekiel Elliott running on the sideline and knocking down people, like, knocking down women.
Interesting ratings here. I'm just going through the ratings real quick. The Tennessee Titans are rated 85 overall, number 9.
Hmm. Yeah, did I miss one? The Titans, like, they were okay,
Marcus
right?
Mariota has turned into something good. Marcus Mariota.
Really, so they're all in. It's probably all kind of propped up by him.
Right.
And him being
Mariota, and according to this website, shacknews.com, I don't know how reliable a source they are. Mariota.
Is it Shaquille O'Neal news.com or like?
Yeah. No, that's shackfoos.com.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. I could see how you make that mistake. They're the 8th highest rated offense in Madden. Apparently, the Tennessee Titans doing big things on offense. I guess, God, it just makes me wish more for an NFL streaming package that not tied to DirecTV. The New Orleans Saints, 84 overall, a little bit of a fall from grace. I think they're probably going to be a little bit worse than that. The Jay Cutler-led Miami Dolphins at an 83 overall. Maybe that might also go down now that Jay Cutler...
I think adding Jay Cutler will reduce that number.
Yeah, now that Pale Tush Jay Cutler is on the... under center, I think that's going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 81 overall. I love watching this season of Hard Knocks. I'm excited. I hope for good things for the Buccaneers and their quarterback, Jameis Winston, but not getting a lot of love from EA Tiberon this time.
Yeah, maybe it'll go up once their kicker Aguayo goes.
Yeah. Well, he's gone. Yeah, now, yeah. Once they
yeah,
get
yeah. So
off.
Now when they update him, it's like, oh, well, now you're okay. Now your kicker can actually make kicks. So
he already missed a field goal for the Bears, and I think.
Oh my God! You remember that guy from college? That guy was unbelievable. The best. Like he never missed. There was like he went like 3 years without missing. He won all the. It's the fragility of like kickers.
That's a lot insane.
Like bullpen dudes or whatever, like closers or like you know those sort of. There's always those sort of guys.
Rick Ankiel, right? Just forgot how to throw.
Yeah, it's just like, well, I'm done. Like once you get that mental block, and like I think we sort of take it for granted. We're like, oh, come on, just do it. But there's this like weird with these athletes. They're just like these trained, you know, animals or these trained robots or whatever, and they just get a little off kilter, and then they're done. Like Robert Aguayo, he should hit every single kick. Yep. There's no reason he shouldn't. He has the physical tools. It's just in his brain, he can't do it anymore.
It's not a drastically different ball. It's not a different...
No, nothing has changed. Yeah.
If anything, sometimes kicking in college can be a little bit harder because the hash marks are wider. So you're trying to hit... You have to hit more oddly shaped shots than you do because the hash marks are wider than the uprights.
Well,
whereas in the NFL, you're only going to be lining up just inside one either upright on the left or right side. So
and I don't have data on it, but I'd imagine that you get way more pressure in college too. Like, because I mean, an NFL line is not going to let the same amount of pressure in. I mean, even though you're playing for Florida State, you're playing for a very good team or whatever. I still think there's going to be a one guy on that line is probably not very good at his job or his, you know, sorry, not his job, his extracurricular activity. Yes.
The thing he signed up to do for free. Okay.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. The thing that you know will got him his free education that he's not allowed to go to because he's traveling across the country. Buses and trains or whatever. But and planes. But yeah, so you get a little bit of the pressure there, and I'd imagine the noise level too. I know, like obviously, an NFL crowd is still going to be very loud, but I don't think that's quite the same as playing in front of like Auburn or playing at the road. I can't imagine that an NFL crowd is any louder than it is. In NCAA, it's just, I guess, the pressure. But it's like this guy wasn't in pressure. I mean, he won a national championship with Florida State, too, and kicked, like, big kicks for that team, you know, in those games. So,
and now he's just
really
lost
bizarre.
It.
Yeah, he just can't. I mean, he's done. Like, the Bears are going to cut him, and then no one's going to take him. And then that's it. You're done. You're done being a kicker. Your professional career is over, and you go away.
Yeah.
Go bye-bye.
And you know what? The more, getting back to Madden 18, the more I learn about Long Shot, which is the inaugural story mode that's being forced on players in Madden 18. I don't know whether there's going to be a different be a player mode. There might be, but the more I learn about it, the more I'm thinking they might not pull it off correctly. Because what I read and what I watched in videos of people that got early release stuff from the game is that when you're playing, first of all, there's some great names. I got to pull them up, but there is some absolutely fantastic naming going on of characters in this game. Rich, maybe while I'm looking here, maybe if you could just quick look to see if you can find them. There's like Colt something, and oh God, it's great. But the thing that I saw, one thing that a reviewer said is that I read it on Kotaku. They said there's going to be moments where you cannot win. Where your player, you have a named character, and he's going to be giving lines.
Devin Wade is his name.
Devin Wade, and his dad is like Colt Wade or something like that. It's great.
I'm trying to find out right now to try to get it. I know Devin was the main character, but then
yeah, there's a
I'll try to figure out.
There's a Kotaku review of the thing here. I actually got the link here. I'll copy it and I'll paste it into the SC chat here.
Fourth wall breaking.
Blah, brother, but. The thing this review says is that you will, in exact situations where you can win, like you can throw this touchdown pass, there will also be times where you cannot throw the touchdown pass, where you cannot make it to the goal line in time, or you cannot make it through this practice, or even in when you have, there's quick time events now, when a coach will ask you a question about what you should do on a play or what coverage.
His best friend is Colt Cruz.
That's yes!
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's great. You can't win. You'll just give wrong answers no matter what you do. And I know from experience that whenever I run into that, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it when I run into it in video games. And given that this is EA's first foray into a football story mode, and you're going to have forced suckage in there, I'm not confident that they're going to be able to pull it off and keep me engaged and keep me wanting to play the game. On top of, you can only be a quarterback. That's it. It's the only position you can play.
Right. Yeah, and that's kind of one of my concerns with this year's game is this, if you really go through and you look at, you know, things that they've added, things that they're, the real thing is like long shot, long shot, long shot, long shot, that we added long shot, we added long shot or whatever, which is well and good. But yeah, the depth there is really not there, like you're saying. So obviously there's the one situation where, yeah, you can only be the quarterback. You're saying that like forced failure. There's a thing, you know, somewhat spoiler alert. I doubt you really care. Are you really playing long shot for the deep intricate story? If you are, skip ahead 3 minutes or whatever. We'll probably be done by then.
Right.
But like your dad dies in a car accident, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And you're like grieving during a college game, and that's a game that you fail, and then you drop out of college, and then you have to like, so there's all this stuff that they're kind of forcing on you, which is I get they want to kind of tell this certain story, but I'm with you. I want to control that story. I don't want to just be like a pawn in a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to just hit buttons when you tell me to hit. That doesn't interest me all that much. Like people have said, oh, if you like Telltale Games, you'll like this. It's like, well, if I like Telltale Games, I'll go play good Telltale Games. I'll go play The Walking Dead series.
Right.
I'll go play any number of ones that they've done pretty well. If I'm playing Madden, I want to play a football game, and I want to, like, you know, control my character and control the outcomes. I want to determine the outcomes. I want the game to I want to fail because I failed. I want to win and succeed because I succeeded. I don't want it to say, oh, well, you had to throw this interception because we told you you had to.
Yep.
I don't want to do that. That to me isn't fun.
And I of course have to reserve, because the big thing for me is I want my on-field play to matter. And there's one game, one football game that actually did this okay, and it was NCAA Football 2009. I don't know if you remember that. That was the first time they introduced kind of a be a college player. And it took you through, Rich, I think you remember that, when you could play as like you played in your high school playoffs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
And how you performed there impacted who was recruiting you. You could pick any school you want, but if you wanted to go to Notre Dame, you'd be on their fourth string, and you'd never play until maybe your junior or senior year. And that game did it well, where I felt like my performance in the game or in practices mattered. But now that I see more and more about long shot, the fact that it is another underdog story. Can a guy just be good at football? Can we do that, please? Just, yeah, I was really good, highly recruited out of high school. And then I started all 4 years in college, and I was pretty damn good. And then I went number one overall. No game mode can you do that. And I just want to be able to do that because it's fun. But,
well, yeah, or have both options, too. I mean, that's what we get in a lot of the – if you want to do this forced story mode or whatever, you want to force it to be Devin Wade and he does this or whatever, have that be a mode. Have that off to the side. But I don't think it would be that much more to then program it where your guy, like similar to what we see with the Road to the Show, what we see with NBA My Player or whatever, they've kind of gotten away from it with My Player. So I guess that's sort of the point in some ways. But – with like a Road to the Show, like you do those high school showcases or whatever, and if you kill it,
uh-huh.
You know, you're in the top, you know, 15 picks or whatever. If you don't kill it, oh, you can go back to college, you can go, you know,
yeah.
Do another tryout, you can do this. So they give you those options, and like you're saying, and NCAA football really, really nailed it too, where how you played determined what would sort of happen.
Uh-oh, we appear to have a connection issue. We'll try to reconnect with Rich here in just a second. Be back on the KMP Show. All right, we're back on the KMP Show. Slight snafu, but Richard, we're back. So what were you saying? You're saying in NCAA it really mattered, but in other games where you felt it didn't matter, what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, so what I was kind of saying is that we've seen kind of a different blend these days. Like, you got the Road to the Show in MLB The Show, where that matters. How you play, in a way, matters, but in baseball it almost matters the least of any sport, you know, because it's like, yeah, I'm the number two overall pick, but it doesn't matter. I gotta go to the
double A. I'm not gonna start tomorrow,
because it's still baseball. I mean, so there's still like, yeah, you're maybe on like a but you know, it really in the long run doesn't really matter all that much. NBA My Player used to be, NBA 2K My Player used to be pretty good about it, where it really did matter, and it still does kind of matter even with the forced story. But it's mattering a little bit less because, like you're saying, there's you're the forced underdog. You're forced to be a certain way. You're forced to talk a certain way. We talked about this a few weeks ago. You're forced to have a certain story and a backstory. Or whatever,
and for those that may have missed it, Rich is mad that he can't sound like a white guy. That's all.
Yeah,
that's all,
right.
I gotta say.
No. And then, like, I would love just the option to be like, if I want to be, you know, Freak or what was he this
president.
Year?
President.
Yeah, if I want to be Prez or whatever, which is fine. Like, that's cool, but I want to just be like a nerdy, like,
give me an Asian Prez. Let me be an Asian Prez, huh?
See? Yeah, I just want to be like a tall European guy. Like, that's my dream, is to just be like, who's this guy? He's like 7'2", and like coaches yell at me, and then I just take threes. And they're like, God damn it, stop doing that. And then I'm Dirk, and it's like, oh, okay, never mind. You're all right. You can do what you're doing. But you talked about NCAA, where it really did matter too. I why not just give people the option? Why not let people choose? Okay, there's, you know, the story of Devin Wade, or create your own story. And then, like, whether you want to be a running back, a quarterback, all that sort of stuff, then do that mode. I don't see why you wouldn't give that option, or why you would force people to be this one story, but then make this story the selling point of your game. And that's the thing that's got me a little worried, is that this is the full court press of, this is our new feature, long shot, long shot, long shot, when really it's not that deep. It's just you're kind of hitting buttons at a certain time.
Did you ever
I was saying this without playing it yet.
Right.
So I don't know. Yeah. But, you know.
It's going to be hard to do right, but there's other modes that you can play. Madden Ultimate Team, did you ever get into Mutt? Was that a thing?
I never really did. Yeah, I've never been to I always want to do those sort of, like, because MLB has it, NBA 2K has it, NHL does it great. I've heard FIFA does it amazing, too. I'm not going to. Because I don't know what the hell's going on, but I've tried to play FIFA before with people, and they're like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I don't understand soccer.
I
don't understand soccer." They're like, "I'm like fast break." They're like, "No, you really, it's a terrible idea." Because like every time I would get
trying to keep
ball,
up the pressure in transition. Come on, let's go.
I would just do it like a fast break in basketball, and they're like, "No, you got to like pass it around and find the open guy." I'm like, "No, I'm there. Like it's one on one. Let's go." And they're like, "No, but if you miss, you're gonna ruin everything." I'm like, "All right, yeah. That makes sense." But no, I've heard they have a good one. So no, I've always wanted to get in those, but for whatever reason, I never quite do. How about yourself?
I every single year I give it a shot, but then every single year I figure out how much grinding is involved, like how incentivized you are to just put your credit card info in and buy packs. It's just it's not bad in that they're always telling you, they're always prompting you, buy packs, buy packs, buy packs. It's just, if you want to get the same number of packs or, well, coins with which you can buy packs, if you want to get the same amount, you have to play so much goddamn Madden Ultimate Team that it's the game just basically says, like, hey, if you want to spend 8 hours a day grinding for coins, go ahead, but you're probably better off just paying the extra $19 to buying all these packs. And I don't like that because it doesn't matter then if I'm good or not. It doesn't matter. I can just buy, I can spend more money to make my team better, and that just doesn't seem that rewarding to me. If there was a path, if it was a little bit more rewarding to the player who actually played Ultimate Team, who actually did the challenges or did the matchups, whatever, if that was more rewarding, I would probably find the game mode as a whole that much more enticing. But as of right now, it just doesn't, because I can always feel the game just kind of winking at me, like, you know, you can just buy Ultimate Packs.
Yeah, so, you know, instead of wasting all this time, you can just, you know, give us your
credit. And then I'm just like, ah, damn it. All right, fine. Here's $25.
You want a good running back, right? Like, we got one right here if you want him.
And plus, you know, I can't make young guys good. And that's one thing that that's why I play franchise modes, especially in Madden, is I like making young guys good.
Right.
And that doesn't fit the playing card mode. The playing card mode is all about getting the best guys and the best versions of the best guys. And I just don't want to go up against a team that has Dan Marino and Adrian Peterson, you know, a 24-year-old Adrian Peterson as his running back, because it's just not fun. Because, okay, yeah, we're both going to throw the ball around the yard, or you're just going to run all over my face, and there's nothing I can do about it. Great. That's fun. It's not fun. It's really not.
Well, how much online play is involved? Because that's always been the thing that I've sort of steered away from with those modes, is because, if it was a single-player mode and I just had to grind and do all that sort of stuff, I might be a little bit, you know, more, you know, I more would want to do it. But the idea of going online and playing, like you said, my quarterback is Dan Marino, my running back is Adrian Peterson, and my wide receiver is Jerry Rice. Like, that doesn't sound very fun to me. But, you know, do you have to do that much online with
you?
With
it's one of those things that it's very incentivized to do. You have to play and you have to win.
Okay, because, so you don't have to, but you're not gonna get
right. Otherwise, otherwise you're just playing single player games, and you've got a team put together, and it's really not that, you know, because you're playing against a computer all the time, and is fine, but every time you play a game, you end up using some of your players. And so it really, again, behooves you to once in a while jump into online and play. And then it's just a slant fest, or if there's a glitch blitz, everybody finds it and beats the hell out of it. And again, not all that fun for me. based on how I play Madden and what I like about Madden. Because I'm not the best Madden player. I'm not very good tactically. I'm not very good on the ball. I'm not very good at switching to guys to do manual intercepts. I'm the guy that's exactly how I play NBA, where it's I break a team down, get draft picks, and try to draft guys that are good. And that's how I right. That's how I play. And the bad news is that reviews are coming in now that it's like not much has changed in franchise mode. There's not a lot that's been going on.
Yeah, that's a little worrisome. Yeah, here's from GameSpot.com, and they have like their good and their bad, and it's kind of maybe a good way to kind of close out the Madden segment. So the good from there is the full Telltale style story mode with touching and personal moments. For me, you know, maybe we can. I'll just kind of interject there. It's for me that doesn't. I don't really need that. That's not why I play a sports game. I mean, it's fine, but I'll go play. There's a lot of other good Telltale games that are, you know, probably better than you know, in terms of the story or whatnot. So. This one's interesting. This I'm kind of curious on, and I do want to kind of find out what this is. I'm curious what your thoughts are here. New gameplay engine, the Frostbite engine. What does that mean to you?
They say they've been running Madden on Frostbite for the longest time, and I don't, you know, they say first-person shooters run on Frostbite. They look great, but I have no idea how it's going to make it look in this. All I can say is that in Battlefield games that I've played that run on the Frostbite engine, especially the most recent iterations of it, they do look really damn good.
Yeah, Battlefield 1 looks incredible. So yep. I guess Battlefield 1 was one of the Frostbite ones?
Yep.
Okay, so this apparently, per GameSpot.com, Frostbite engine makes faces, stadiums, and lighting look better than ever.
Okay.
So, there you go. Madden Ultimate Team is a lot of fun, even if you don't care for multiplayer. So there you go. Good for me.
Okay.
Commentary has been significantly improved and reflects in-game events, which is always fun when they do that.
Again, they also say that every year. So
yeah, right.
Every year, it's you know,
commentary has gotten better every year in every game forever, which is pretty incredible considering it still really sucks for the most part.
Right. Because you'll be three games in and you'll be hearing something you heard all, you know, last game for the third time. Mm-hmm. Because the game just, there's only so much you can record, especially when you hire the biggest and brightest stars to voice it. I don't know who's doing the commentary this year. I think, is it still Chris Collinsworth?
Thomas Davis? No, it's like Thomas Davis and somebody else, I thought.
Okay, so maybe it's not, a B team, so maybe they can get some more out of them.
So it's okay. Right. It's not your big time. Like, Collinsworth is not going to go. You got like an hour of Collinsworth time, right?
Right.
Like, he's not sitting down and being like, all right, here we go, like, day two.
He's just wondering why you can't use stuff from his Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football. Yeah, so, like, why can't you use that? And it's like, yeah, well,
it's fine. Because... I already recorded it. Like, well, no.
Yeah. So
play now live.
What is
play
that?
Real world NFL matchups. I have no clue. I think that's just a deal where it's like, this game is playing this week. Click it. And yay. Like, the thing that I was reading was like, oh, your team is on like week four. Like, you click that and it'll reflect the current lineups of week four, you know, Jaguars or Browns or whatever.
Which, okay.
It's just a roster update and you click play now and it's a roster update. So I don't know, but the bads, that's kind of worrying me a little bit, and I know you're gonna be a little worried too. The bad inconsistent tone in the long shot story.
So
whatever.
Exactly the worst thing you would want to hear about a story driven my player mode is that the tone is bad. The right. Narrative is sometimes inconsistent. That's not exactly what you want to hear.
Not ideal. And franchise mode hasn't been updated much.
Which the franchise isn't, it's kind of deep. It's not as it's certainly not as deep as NBA 2K, the franchise mode. But, you know, I don't know.
You can do a lot with it. You can have a pretty decent amount of fun with it, though, right?
Right, yeah. Especially most with years. The addition of the practice squad, like which is just implemented, I think, for guys like you and me.
Yeah, nobody else uses that.
Nobody does, but
I wonder
every
the percentage
week
of people who give a fuck that. But we're like, hell yeah.
I go through everybody's practice squad, and especially when I'm breaking a team down, it's how you find good young guys because they say, you know, you have to keep them on your NFL roster. I'm like, hell yeah. Great. This is exactly what I want because I want this young guy on my roster to play, and in a couple of years, hopefully, he'll be good. The only
thing. It's like us last year with it, or a few weeks ago with the. With like the D League or the G League, yeah. We're like, oh yeah, yes, we're gonna like draft this guy in the second round and put him in the G League.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
I'm gonna. And then once we found out you can't play G League games, damn it. All right, so Madden 18 out today. That's our review brought to you by in part Metacritic and also GameSpot.com.
Here are two people who haven't played the game talk about the game and
Right, but I don't know, experienced sports video game players. It's what
this
you
isn't
want.
Our first rodeo. Yeah, we've been playing for many, 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 many years. So.
All right, we got to move on. What do you want to talk about next? Do you want to do a Judge's Chamber or Hugh Freeze?
Let's bury Judge's Chamber as far as possible because I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, you don't want to face the music. All right,
because I feel bad. I really do. I mean, he's fine. He's probably an okay player still, but. Killed him. He was really good, and now he's not really good.
Speaking of great football names, Hugh Freeze, this story is littered with great football names. Just great names in general. I mean,
oh, yeah. No, I mean, the first two names you're going to mention are the two greatest names in football history.
On July 13th, 2017, Hugh Freeze's predecessor, Houston Nutt, first of all, Hugh Freeze is like a Batman villain.
Yeah, that's not a real name. I mean, that cannot be.
Right, he's like
what's his actual like long like Jewish or Polish name that he like somehow turned into Freeze? Like there's no way. Like
Frizzlekowski, like, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. There's no way Freeze.
I'm Polish,
was
I can say
name.
That. Don't get all excited about
right,
it.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
But
Danny Hugh Freeze. So Hugh is kind of like the either nickname or middle name, but still Danny Freeze. The Freeze is the part we're talking about. Hugh is irrelevant.
Right. Freeze is what you change your Freeze is the stage name when you're a local weatherman. Right, like,
right, like I'm
welcome to
Freeze.
Des Moines, KTLA number 5. Like, yeah. I'm Hugh Freeze with weather.
Yeah, the jacket's out today. It's gonna be a cold one. I'm Hugh Freeze with your weather report.
Just there's one career arc for him, and it's weatherman, and that's it. And he's just gonna climb the ranks.
Not like not at like a good station. Like he peaks at like Sacramento. Yes. Like that's kind of the top. Is like
been there for 30 years.
Right. Like he's an institution in Sacramento, and
it's like come on out Saturday to meet Hugh Freeze at the local Cinnabon, right. Signing autographs from 7 to 7:15.
Hey, just Starakovich might show up, but probably not because he keeps ditching out.
And Houston Nutt is like an old Southern, like he's the bad guy in a movie or something.
Right, like he had like Deadwood or yeah, right? like a
Houston Nutt.
He's the tough nut to crack.
Okay, right, they gotta make that in the first they make that in the trailer, like he's a tough nut to crack.
He's just always smoking, he's dirty, his face has always got a little bit
of
dirt on it.
And a little bit of sweat too, he's just sweating.
He's wiping his brow always.
Boy, I can't tell you what I feel right now because I'm just so angry. So anyway, Houston Nutt.
His full name is Houston Dale Nutt. So
wow.
That's it. Houston Dale Nutt Jr.
Wow. Throwing the junior in there. I like it. He sued Ole Miss for defamation, contending that Freeze and school officials falsely blamed him for previous recruiting violations. Freeze came in. Ole Miss was under investigation by the NCAA, and they were just like, Houston did it. It was Houston. It was all him. And Houston Nutt said, oh, no.
He nutted up. Houston Nutt got his big old nuts.
There it is. I don't believe that is correct, gentlemen.
I reckon that's not how it went down.
As part of discovery for the lawsuit.
Does he have a drawl? Are we just going to, we'll assume he does.
His name is Houston Nutt and he coached at Ole Miss. I mean, come on.
Right. I'm not going to, not even going to look it up. I don't care. Right. I'm just going to go with it.
As part of discovery for the lawsuit, Nutt's attorneys filed a Freedom of Information Act request
Not to interrupt. He's from Little Rock, Arkansas. So okay, he undeniably has a drawl. Mm-hmm. So we're good to go.
Made on his university issued cell phone during January of 2016. Nutt contended that Freeze and others at Ole Miss, like this reads like a comic book.
I can't even.
Nutt said that Freeze said that uranium and taking it to Islamabad, right. And
Tunstall says that Nutt says that Freeze said, like Larry Tunstall's a part of this too, yeah. Like, which is also like just an odd name. So.
While reviewing those reports, Nutt's attorneys discovered a call to a number. Again, this is from Freeze's issued cell phone issued by the University of Mississippi. Leaked information, blah, blah, blah. While reviewing those records, Nutt's attorneys discovered a call to a number associated with a female escort service. And alerted Ole Miss officials about it. Freeze claimed it was a misdialed number.
I hate when that happens, man.
When you're trying to call up a recruit, and, oh, damn it, it's the hookers again.
Yeah,
son of
just
a
trying
bitch.
To get a pizza and you're one number short. You're like, no, it's the escort service that's in town. Darn. Oh. Why are they one number off? It's so weird how they're just
right.
So
they're just you think after so many times that I've called this number,
or I have it in my phone where I just click.
Right, because who's dialing numbers anymore?
Nobody dials anything anymore. Houston.
School officials investigated and discovered what they later described as, quote,
a
concerning pattern of similar calls dating back to shortly after he arrived in Oxford. Freeze and disassociated booster Lee Harris called each other at least 200 times between January 2015 and the end of Freeze's tenure last month, while on a December 2016 recruiting trip to Houston, not to Nut, just to the city of Houston, Freeze placed a call to a local massage company.
Which is fine.
Come on, you know what he's looking for.
Look, he's a lot of those plane trips, you got, you know, your traps are a little sore.
You're in economy class, yeah, there's a, right, you got to go get the tension out.
Right, exactly, maybe a little, nothing wrong with a man getting a pedicure or whatever. Right,
and then, you know, maybe throw him an extra $50, you get a tug at the end, right?
Well, you know, yeah, of course, well, Doug, yeah.
You got to relieve a little bit, you're on the recruiting trail, it's hard enough as it is. I mean, that's exactly the point, is that it's hard enough, and you got to get rid of that stuff somehow. The Wall Street Journal has a scoop today, which seems to really be trying its hardest not to explicitly sell out its main implication that former Ole Miss football coach Hugh Freeze made not just one, but many phone calls to escorts during his time at the school, usually around the times he'd go on recruiting trips. So Hugh Freeze was calling up escorts.
Yeah.
Just to show him a nice time. And around the time,
so he had dates to his steakhouses, you know.
Oh yeah, you know, you don't want to go stag. You want to
No.
You want to be shown up, and plus you call an escort service, you can try to maybe, you know, relate to the recruit that, you know, the recruit's got an older mom, maybe you can call up and get yourself a MILF escort. Somebody that can relate to the mother on that level. Say, "Oh, this is my date for the evening. Hello, how you doing? This is Chantel. Hey, say hello," and all that. So he was made just helping out recruiting, right? And then on July 20th, Chancellor Jeff Vitter and Athletic Director Ross Bjork, come on! This story is great.
I think I made all this up. None of this is true.
Right, you just wrote this as a fanfic?
Ross Bjork, yeah. Right, this is just a random fanfic that I found.
Mm-hmm. They gave Freeze an ultimatum. Resign or be fired for violating the morals clause of his contract. Freeze opted to resign. Offensive coordinator Matt Luke was named interim coach. Why not just fire him?
Hey, look, all right, you got two choices.
Now, listen, we all know that we've been alone on the recruiting trail, and sometimes it can get a little hairy.
Yeah, no one wants to rub one off. That's not, you know, football-y enough. You need someone else to.
So why not just fire him when you bust him calling up the whois with his cell phone? Why call with the cell phone issued by the school?
Well, actually, that's a fun story. Did you see that?
No.
So, again, like, this is the funniest thing. Like, do you watch Parks and Rec ever?
No, I do not.
Okay, yeah, so there's a congressman there or something. He's a state representative or something. I forgot his name exactly. But essentially, he's an adulterer. And, like, while he's being investigated, like, they're like, on the car ride to the investigation, he was seen with another. Like, this guy just can't every, like, second. It's just like, damn it, dude. Like, just stop. Just, like, don't have sex with other women other than your wife for just, like, 2 minutes.
Right, like the Anthony Weiner effect.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Like, Anthony was a perfect example of just like, dude, just stop.
Just don't do these things anymore. Right?
Like,
while you're running
your dick
for office
to anybody for like 2 months. He's like, got it. Damn it, I did. Like, dude, we just got done talking about that. Like, I just got to go to the bathroom for 1 minute.
Are you going
right
to take
back
a picture of your penis, Anthony? No, no. Okay, yes,
Anthony. Anthony.
All right, yeah, I did.
I am. But no. So that apparently, the phone, they got to dug a little deeper. It is not a university-issued phone. It's his own phone. But the university never issued him a phone. So the implication was, here, Freeze, Mr. Freeze, Senior Freeze, which is actually, I think, I have a popsicle, I think it's called Senior Freeze in my freezer right now. That's a shoot. I actually do. But that, like, so the university didn't give him a phone, but some booster was paying for the phone or something like that. Some weird, like, shell company was paying for it.
Oh, so did he have to even turn it over?
I don't know, but then it's like this weird thing where it's like definitely part of the school, but not really. It's just like, God, there's so much here. What are you guys doing?
And what is it really? It's like $70 a month for an unlimited plan, really.
Right. Pay for it.
Just you're Hugh Freeze. You're making a couple $1 million as the head coach of Ole Miss. Like, what, you can't spare $180 a month for a true unlimited plan from like Sprint or whatever? You can't spare it? You got it all tied up in other asset allocation? Dumbass. That's just ridiculous. Now,
that is a whole can of worms. So it's like, well, it's not my. So like, I can kind of maybe see his point is like, well, it's not a university phone, or you know, yeah. Hey, what do you like? I'm just like, what I do on my own time is my personal. You know, I can do that. I can. So it's a really weird story. I think the real big issue here, or the big thing that would, and I don't know if we're ever going to quite get to the bottom of it, is the part about, you know, that he probably called more than just one escort service, usually on recruiting trips.
Yeah.
The thing now is now if he on his own phone is calling Hua's.
Right. To do some stumping.
Yeah.
Just to,
you know, that's fine. He's allowed to do that.
Excuse me, if I may, to bust a nut.
Okay.
Hey, hey.
Sorry.
Double T.
Of course. Yes, of course.
But is the weird part is, were those for him?
Yeah.
Or were they for recruits?
And recruits tend to be younger than 18 years old.
Yeah, or, you know, in general, not good university policy.
Right, you don't want to be running who is to high school kids. Kids who are still in high school.
Yeah, well, then again, I'm saying that, but you also cannot actually get prostitutes in other places. So, actually, I'm saying, like,
no,
you can do that in your
right,
own.
But
you actually cannot. You can't go to, like, Mobile, Alabama.
Right, but I would agree. It's more morally defensible for just Hugh Freeze, the man, to just be going to who is to get his rocks off. Just because, hey, yeah, I'm just a morally decrepit man, but that's more morally acceptable than having.
He has a sex addiction, sir, okay?
Is that what.
That's definitely.
Is that what he
definitely
said?
That's what they always go. No, he didn't say that, but, like, that's usually, like, I'm just addicted to sex. It's like, well, I mean, aren't we all kind of?
Right, but there's a point where it becomes unacceptable when you're calling them up to give them to high school kids, regardless of whether they're 18, some of whom may have been younger than 18, and then that's a real problem. And the things that we're learning about, stuff like that Minnesota, the University of Minnesota, the rape allegations that are coming out of there, and talking about the freshman football recruits and how there were a couple of recruits that were with the football team or with the football players that were accused of raping this girl. Like, it is an underworld. The recruiting trip itself is an underworld. They go out, especially big-time college football, they go out, get you drunk, and get you laid.
Right, yeah. There's and anybody who's ever been around a college campus or knows anything about, you know, the inner workings of college football and college football recruiting is that even if they're not, you know, explicitly Hua's, they have a stable, if you will, of team-friendly, attractive women that
cleat,
you know,
chasers, we used to call them.
Yeah, and like the team will say, "Oh, hey,
how about you come out to this bar tonight?" Or, "Hey, we're having an apartment party." There's always an apartment party because they can't get them.
Yeah.
In the bars.
Oh, look who's here! It's this bevy of attractive women.
Oh, hey, these are
who are at this school that you could go to. Yay!
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's but you know, you can't pay him because that would just cause all sort of, you know.
Right. It's just instead of you know, the drunk stumping trips, it would be a more business like affair where it's like, hey, we've got I don't know, we can throw you $15,000 a semester, whatever. I mean, I don't even know. Right.
You don't want scuzzy agents involved. Ew, agents.
Ew, gross. Agents. But more
but
like
instead, let's whore out our
yeah.
You know,
here
co-eds.
Are prostitutes,
yeah.
Blow and cheap alcohol. So.
Right.
Have fun.
And money anyway. And here's a bunch
of
money
anyway.
Right, and
then money anyway because, oh, crap, you need to live. Son of a bitch. All right.
Here's a car with a bunch of money filled in it and hula's and coke.
And a no-show job at a local car dealership owned by a booster. And, oh, crap.
And they work in the library, man, all right? Like, I would love to see the college football recruit that's like, where were you at practice? Like, oh, dude, we just got a new shipment at the university store. Like, I had to
we had
all those hats away. Like,
dude, we had to unload the truck last night, man. It was the truck came in, dude. I had to, oh my God, I had to put so many things in the inventory. It was insane. Mm-hmm.
And then the barcode
reader died and nobody had a spare battery. And so we had to wait for it to fully charge. Oh, and then they have this new HR system that is just ghastly. It's awful. No, that's not happening.
And I'm sure the coach is going to be like, well, that's fine.
Oh, okay. All right.
You're a student first and an athlete second. So that's
not pretty. Your cut. Get rid of your scholarship.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
So, Hugh. So every day now, might want to just do like a Google alert for Hugh Freeze because it's like It's probably just lawyers like looking through paperwork and just every day being like, oh God, okay,
oh,
here we go.
No.
Like, here's another thing. Here's another thing. Like, this is going to spiral. Just leave out of control.
And I still got to advocate at that point, just fire the dude. Don't let him resign. Fire him. You are fired because you called hookers. Stop doing that. Because when you give him the choice to resign, now he's going to go back, Rich, like we talked about at the beginning of the show. He's in the club for life. He's going to FAU. I guarantee he's going to end up at FAU with Lane Kiffin.
Yep,
swear
work his way back up.
Yep. And then it's going to be the redemption story.
Happened with all those guys. Like, the guys that have actually done, like, criminal stuff as well, they get the little safety raft of resigning.
Yeah, who's
fired.
That douche at Baylor that starts showing up at people's spring
Art Briles, court? Right?
Art Briles. Yeah, people brought him in at, like, a summer camp. Like, you sure you want to be doing that?
Yep, little by little, you'll work your way back up.
Five, six, seven years from now, who remembers? Who even remembers what happened then?
I had sex addiction. Like, that will be his thing. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what I was saying. Like, I'm joking about that, but it'll be all, you know, with his wife next to him. Oh, I had, you know, demons and da-da-da-da-da or whatever. And then slowly but surely, I found God. You know, that'll always
come. Oh, of course,
you know,
always.
I found God. And then, little by little, he'll work his way back up. And then, in a few years, old Hugh will be doing things.
And there has been one mammoth amendment to that prenup. You know for sure when the wife shows up at the press conference.
Oh, yeah.
You know that prenup just got a lot more one-sided.
Or it's like the Kobe Bryant thing where his wife just had, like, the biggest diamond in the history of the world. Yep. Like, yep, I forgave him.
Because I have, there is $5 million sitting in a bank account with my name on it. Mm-hmm. And the minute this goes south, I'm out of here. And I got all my money, and I get the kids, and I get everything, and this schlup is out on his ass. So, I can't wait for the Hugh Freeze redemption story.
Come to theaters.
Come to theaters near Hugh you. Freeze. All right, let's do it's time. We got to do it. I know you don't want to.
I got like laundry and stuff to do, so.
You just want me to take this one?
Yeah, you do it. I'll be in the background making a lot of noise. So.
Okay. All right.
Okay, perfect. All right.
Here we go. Judge's chamber.
There's the story. See ya! What a blast! A three-run home run! And the Yankees lead 5-1.
Right here tonight. Next pitch to Judge is hammered into left field. Hooking fair ball home run.
We may never hear these again.
Aaron Judge just kept it fair for his major league leading 19th of
the
season.
Get that one, big dong. Went like 400 feet.
High drive, right field, going back.
Happier
Bautista
times.
Looking up, see ya, into the second deck the other way.
The music's just like...
They were happier times. Sounds from a happier time. Time for Judge's Chamber, where we review the performance of show favorite Aaron Judge. It seems like it's like a eulogy almost.
Not my favorite, your favorite.
Okay, yeah, that's all on me.
Damn it. I always said this is ridiculous. Yeah, it's so
well, I have a sex addiction.
One player?
I have a pretty bad sex addiction.
Yeah,
I think that's, you know, with the help of my church, my pastor, his name is Pat. We were able to get through some things, and I was able to come to
That's
the realization that that Aaron Judge is falling on some hard times. On Saturday, Judge set the all-time Major League Baseball record for most consecutive games with a strikeout in a single season when he was rung up by Chris Sale. Although, you know what? Who isn't rung up by Chris Sale nowadays?
Yeah, that should be fair. To be fair, I mean, you know.
In the top of the fifth inning, it was the 36th consecutive game in which Judge has struck out, a streak that stretches back all the way to July 8. Over that span, Judge has struck out an incredible 62 times. He followed up on Sunday with another strikeout, his 37th. Straight game. Rich, I can't do it anymore. What are his stats since the last time we did a show? Oh, gosh, this is awful.
All right. Since our last show on August 3rd, Judge has accrued 72 plate appearances and a batting line of... Are you drinking anything? Are you eating anything?
No.
Okay. 175. 347. Okay. You know, hey. 368.
Oh. That is not what, because last time
that's slugging, by the way, that last one.
Yeah, that's slugging.
Not on base.
The last time we did a show, if I remember correctly, last time we did Judge's Chambers, it was, hey, you know what's like the guiding light throughout all this is that, yeah, he's hitting like 200, but his slugging is still like 550. So when he hits the ball, when it's not an out, it's going to be extra bases or it's going over the wall. That's not happening anymore.
Weighted on base percentage, 317. Ugh. Weighted runs created plus of 95.
It's 5% below average.
His K rate is an astonishing 40%. Mm. His walk rate, though, leads the league in walk still. Decent, you know, 19.4. Got a BABIP of 280.
That's a little bit below.
Right, so maybe a little unlucky, but, you know, if you're not putting the bat on the ball,
right,
luck doesn't really play much of a factor when
you're
not putting the ball in play ever. And then his home run fly ball ratio is 27.3.
Which is absurd, which would be absurd for any other player, but for Aaron Judge, it's below what we would expect.
Right.
Because his home run to fly ball rate on the year, at least up until this point, was somewhere around 40%. Now it's down to 27.3.
Sorry.
And he's facing a lot more fastballs now. I looked it up on FanGraphs just to see. I'm like, what could be some things that are playing into this? Because this is real now. This is real. Whether you want to call it the league adjusting or, as we're going to talk about in a second, umpires adjusting or needing to adjust because they're little sissies. But Aaron Judge is facing a lot more fastballs. And not just a lot more fastballs, he's facing a lot more fastballs out of the zone. A lot of them. And that's backed up by heat maps, that's backed up by rolling 10-game averages of fastball distribution and zone percentage. So he's getting challenged by fastballs out of the zone more often than he was now or at any point this season. And he's just not adjusting. Because despite being 6'8", it's still hard to catch up to 95 at your chest, even when you're 6'8". And that could be a reason. Now, how do you adjust to that? I'm not exactly sure. It probably means he's got to stop swinging at more sliders and curveballs out of the zone. Got to shave off the top of that zone. Just take it. But because Rich's research, Rich, what you show is that he can't do that because they're calling more top of the zone strikes on him.
It's from Mark Simon at ESPN. This was an article last week, so I don't know if the numbers are still accurate, but at least it shows a little bit of, or at least I'm sure they're still accurate, but I don't know. They've probably been updated, but you'll see the stark difference here. In the first half, Judge had 13 strikes called against him on pitches in the upper third of the strike zone, a.k.a. high pitches, in 84 games. We had 13 strikes called, again, upper third of the strike zone in 84 games. In the second half, and this was now he was only 27 games in the second half, I know. Right now, I believe he is 35 games, so I'd imagine this number has gone up, but weren't able to see. In the second half, he had already had 11 in just 27 games. So right there, you know. I mean, he probably is already at 13 if we can really, you know,
right.
when you add another 10 games or whatever on there. But anyway, I have to look. His 13 strikes called against in the first half in 84 games, 11 of those upper half, upper third, high pitches called strikes in 27 games. So umps have adjusted their strike zone to him. And as you saw, he's getting more of them. They're calling more of them, and he's having trouble hitting them, which is the perfect recipe for why you have, you know, a sub 200 batting in the second half. And just to kind of give people a quick idea, obviously doing the Judge's Chamber, you know, we look at little small snippets, and it's never fair to really look at a baseball player that way. But second half, post All-Star break, batting line is 169, 329, 355. So that's 35 games right now. So that's not a week. That's not 2 weeks. That's quite a few weeks. That's quite a lot of games. Mm-hmm. That's not good.
Yeah, that's eyebrow raising. That's, you know, you got to work with your video guys, work with your hitting coach, whatever you need to do. I'm sure I'm positive the Yankees have a handle on this. But one thing that I don't like is that Judge is having strikes called on him that for other hitters in what would be the same part of the strike zone. In their strike zone, they're not calling the high strike for a guy that's 6 feet tall. But for the guy that's 6'8", they're calling the similar high strike, and something's got to be done about that. Because it shouldn't be that just by as a function of being taller, you are now subject to a high strike call because we're umpires and that's just what we do. There needs to be a reckoning with MLB umpires where where somebody goes, hey, you're not calling this high strike. Again, given the strike zone for any given player, you're not calling this high strike for, let's say, Todd Frazier, but you are calling it for his new teammate, Aaron Judge, when it's at Aaron Judge's letters, but you're not calling it when it's at Todd Frazier's letters. We have to talk about that. Either call it or don't. Because when you have somebody, when you have two different strike zones for hitters, and those two different strike zones are called two different ways, it will have the practical effect of one of the game's most exciting players is now slumping. Not that it's all on the umpires, obviously. Not that it's all their fault. But when you have a guy who knows he has to swing now at high strikes, otherwise it's going to be called strikes, it's going to be harder for him to catch up. It's going to be harder for him to get power on the ball. It's going to be harder for him to barrel it up. And that's what we're seeing. That's what's happening. So this is something that there's a bunch of things that are going into it, but one thing that the MLB can control is the umpiring, and that's unacceptable. I don't think this, Rich, does this, when I first saw it, the more and more I thought about it, I thought, man, this is really shitty.
Yeah, I guess it's just that you see the two differences, that you see that in the first half, they kind of let those ones slide, and then in the second half, they don't, and it's, if I'm a player, I just want fairness. I just want it to be the same and know that, hey, if I take that pitch,
right,
that's going to be a ball. If I take that pitch, it's going to be a strike. Knowing at least what pitch, because now you have no clue. And I could see how as a player, you're like, cool, I'll let that one go. And he's a guy who walks a lot. It's not like a guy who just swings from his, you know, he's not a wild swinger type guy. Like, he's not just a dude that just swings no matter what happens or whatever, because then it won't affect you that much. But if you're a guy who prides himself on being able to take some walks or whatever,
mm-hmm.
knowing that what you took in the first half was a ball that now is turned into a strike, that fucks with you. How do you possibly handle that?
Mm-hmm.
Going, okay, I don't know. The second you go, I don't know, in baseball, you're done. That's when you struggle, is when you're going up there going, I don't know if that's a ball. I don't know if that's a strike. I don't know if I should swing. I don't know what I should do. In the first half, he was able to say, okay, I'm going to take that. That's a ball. That's a strike. This is the thing I can hit. This is, you know, and now you can't. Now he sits there and no strike. Well, what the hell? Like, that was a ball last, you know,
mm-hmm.
a month ago, that was a ball. Now it's a strike.
Yeah.
How do you do that? How do you handle that? How do you even reckon that? As a baseball player, you can't do that. And that's what leads to you having, you know, a below 350 on base and a below 360, you know, slugging is stuff like that.
Yeah, and I guess the only saving grace is that his walk rate is still rather high. I'm not sure whether that's a function of him being incredibly selective at the plate versus a function of managers and pitchers being scared of him a little bit. You know, in certain situations, are you just going to tell your guy, hey, just nibble, and if you can get something, go ahead, but otherwise we're fine with a walk here. But I would hope that it's him being selective. I'd have to look at, again, more numbers on that. But, again, it's all about adjustment. This is the adjustment we were waiting for, right? Last time we did a show, we were like, is this the adjustment period? Is this when the league is adjusted? No, not yet. I can say now, after looking at the heat maps of the distribution of fastballs that Judge is seeing, yeah, this is the league adjusting. They're challenging him up in the zone now, and it's going to be up to him to lay off. Obviously, you're going to see strikeouts go up, at least strikeout caught lookings. You're going to see those go up because they're going to be calling that high strike, but I'm going to have to learn to lay off the ones that are truly above the zone and try to maintain some semblance of walk rate, try to make pitchers come back to the strike zone. And I guess that's probably better than not being able to hit a curveball, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's sort of adjusting. Okay, it's not like his talent has gone away or whatever. It's not like he no longer can hit. It's just now, okay, you have to kind of adjust that this pitch is now a strike, or guys are going to throw you here. So let's be a little bit more prepared for high and away, or let's be a little bit more prepared to swing when it's a high pitch, because the umps are going to kind of change it and call you or whatever. And And I don't doubt, like, you were kind of alluding to it a little bit, that the umps are sort of challenging him a little bit. All right, you think you're the best in the world. You think you're awesome. All right, here you go. No, that's a strike now.
Right.
You know, adjust. Show us you're a star. Show us you can do this. Show us you can you know, adjust on the fly or adjust your swing plane or adjust how you take pitches and look at pitches or whatever. It's kind of bullshit. I wouldn't, you know, I don't know if that's what their job should necessarily be, but, I mean, it's hard to not see that coming through a little bit because what else reason? I mean, it's not a complete accident that all of a sudden umpires decided, you know what? That's a strike now.
Right.
In the second half. Wasn't a strike in the first half. Now it's a strike. I mean, that obviously is, there's something there that they're, I don't know that it's an ump conspiracy or whatever, but something's going on where they're saying, all right, well, let's see if this guy can do it. Let's see what he can do here.
Yeah. And, you know, a couple times, every couple of games, you'll see an ump challenge call. I mean, we saw Joe West do it when the umpires were protesting silently with white wristbands. We saw Joe West strike out John Jay, called strike on an inside pitch, if I recall correctly, and immediately Joe West took off his mask and stared at John Jay. Or no, excuse me, it was Ben Zobrist. Called out Ben Zobrist on an inside pitch and immediately stood up, took off his mask, and stared at him. And that is a challenge call. That's a, all right, go ahead, say something. Go ahead, say something, please. I dare you, because I will run you from this game quicker than you can imagine. And maybe there is a little bit of that to Judge. Maybe there is a little bit. Maybe there was, I don't know, maybe we'll find out with some investigative reporting. Maybe there was a memo circulated among MLB umpires saying, hey, let's not forget about the high strike on Aaron Judge because he's 6'8". Or excuse, they probably wouldn't name Judge specifically, but it would say a reminder to all MLB umpires that blah, 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 just because a player is tall doesn't mean that this or this needs to change. Be cognizant of actually where a player's letters are versus et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that may be the league trying to adjust to Aaron Judge. Maybe the league internally felt, hey, you know, he's getting away with a lot. Because the pre-All-Star break stuff is they are not calling the high strike on him, and that's forcing pitchers into the, you know, throwing a guy thigh high who's 6'8", and will just mash the ball on you.
Right, and with modern, you know, the way that swing planes are now, we know we hear more so much more about, you know, obviously the exit velocity and the angles and all that sort of stuff. And the new thing is, you know, just swing uppercut. You know, Cody Bellinger is a great example of a guy that just, I mean, Jesus, that is the most uppercut swing you're ever going to have or whatever, and that's what guys want. Guys want you to throw it at the knees, and they're going to uppercut it and put it as high in the air as possible.
Yep. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I doubt this is an overt conspiracy to limit Aaron Judge because, again, then you have to consider, well, wait a minute, Major League Baseball, you juice the baseball and then deny up and down that you juice the baseball, but then here comes a guy who's killing your juice baseballs. You go, oh, no. Wait a second. Sorry. Can't do that.
Killing him a little. Sorry, bud. Too much killing. Don't kill that much.
Yeah. I think it's probably more number one overall is advanced scouts are saying, hey, you know what, if you throw him up in the zone.
Yeah, just enough time.
Yeah.
Enough time looking at it. And because we know that he's getting more of those. So it's possible that because he's getting more of those high fastballs, that it is causing them to call more of the strikes or whatever.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's advanced. I mean, that's baseball. I mean, that's mm-hmm. the thing is, like, you there cannot be any part of your game that – and it might take a little while. It might take guys doing some research. It might say, okay, let's get some data. Okay, boom, we got it. Here's how we can do it. And then all it takes is a few guys to show, oh, wait, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
We had our entire pitching staff strike them out. And then another team sees that and goes, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. People are smart. People know what they're doing. Hold on a minute. Let's try that. Let's see. And that snowballs into what we got going on now.
All right, you know what, Aaron? It's on you now. The league's adjusted. See if you can adjust back. Here we go. I want to get it clean. The ball, it's in your court, buddy.
Hey!
Because it's in his court.
The judge.
Yeah, because he's the judge. But this is the judge's chamber, or that was the judge's chamber. All right. Do we want to do one more?
Yeah, let's get one more in here.
The pissy umpires, we alluded to it. Umpires over the weekend, you may not have heard about it.
I want to get into the other one. There's another great one.
Oh, there's another one? Okay. Umpires protested silently over the weekend, for one day, on Sunday wearing white wristbands. Not all of them. Many umpires are wearing white wristbands. Ostensibly, or as the head of the umpires union, Joe West later put out a press release saying, Major League umpires, let's see. Yes, here it is. Oh, this is Saturday. Major League umpires hold themselves to high standards. We are held accountable for our performance every game, which is why so many Major League Baseball umpires are fired, right? Because they're all held accountable.
Right, exactly. So much accountability every year. They're like, ah, here's all the ones that failed and this is what they did wrong, but none of them are fired.
Okay.
Because they have a union and we can't possibly.
Our most important duty is to protect the integrity of the game, and we will continue to do that job every day. But the Office of the Commissioner must protect our integrity when we are unfairly attacked simply for doing our jobs. That's what the Umpires Union statement read. They are unfairly attacked simply for doing our jobs. This is coming on the heels of Ian Kinsler calling out erstwhile umpire Angel Hernandez, saying he's been ruining the game for a long time and he should just stop being an umpire. All true things. This should stop being an umpire is a value judgment, but he's been ruining baseball. That's pretty true about Angel Hernandez.
Angel's had a lot of run-ins over the years. I mean, I know Chipper Jones famously called him. He said that he would boycott any games, or fans should boycott any games that he umps because it's not even worth it. It's not even baseball anymore. His accuracy is apparently, it rates out pretty well, but Dallas Braden, I know who's on ESPN, I believe, has said in the past that was his least favorite ump to pitch to, just because, inconsistent calls, you weren't quite sure. And then anytime they do polls, like, of players and of managers or whatever, baseball insiders, Hernandez always gets the worst ratings as well. So even though, he grades out pretty well, there's something certainly about him and about pitching to him or playing, with him as the umpire that irks people a little bit. So yeah, it doesn't it doesn't grade out very well.
Well, here's the thing: is that and from his own lawsuit, it says Hernandez's accuracy calling balls and strikes behind the plate increased from 92.19% in 2002 to 96.88% in 2002.
92 is pretty shitty.
Why
isn't
are
it?
You still an umpire?
92 sounds really bad.
When you are 92% accurate as an umpire, you should not be
better.
An umpire anymore.
He's at 96.88.
You know why? Because he was held accountable. That's all that accountability being held up is that when he's 92.19% accurate, he still has a job and has an opportunity to get better. I think that's being held accountable, right? Right? But anyway, as it turns out, they've already released a statement. Commissioner Rob Manfred has agreed to meet with a union representative, and now the wristbands are gone.
Okay.
So they will not wear wristbands, at least in protest, anymore. I don't know. I guess some umpires might choose to wear wristbands because wristbands, I don't know, you get sweaty. But, yeah, they're done. Just fire all the umpires, please, for the love of God. I mean, come on. Do you really need to be dealing with Joe West? In no world should anybody be forced to deal with Joe West or Angel Hernandez or C.B. Buckner. I'm going through all the names that Hawk Harrelson has, like, he's got crosshairs written on him. He's got their home address written down, where he's going to go get them on, like, when Hawk gets the terminal diagnosis, then he's going to finally exact revenge on C.B. Buckner. But nobody should be forced to deal with these personalities. This is not, that's not what baseball is about. Nobody pays, nobody watches to see Joe West throw somebody out of a game, or Joe West call an improper game, or umpires start missing calls, or start missing, there was somebody who got an infield, it was on Saturday, inside the park home run on a ball that was like 3.5 feet foul. And they were like, oh, what do you want from us? And then they had to review it, and they said, shit, that was foul. Oops, our bad, while we wear our white wristband protest.
Yeah, and that's a problem in all sports now. Replay has just made it so much more obvious. Like, NFL particularly is one that's the worst at it, because it's like, catch. It's like, replay says it's not a catch. We're going to call it a catch anyway. Like, what are we doing? Like, all the announcers are like, nope, definitely not a catch.
It's not a catch. Okay. There's no way this is a catch. The ruling on the field stands. Like, what the?
Poor Mike Pereira is like, they're going to definitely overturn this. The ruling on the field stands. Like, all right, well, I don't know.
He started saying that last year, too. He's like, well, I don't know, because they changed what catched it to. Like, it's up to their interpretation. That's why I've always lobbied. They should have like a Supreme Court of rules for like the NFL and like make it like a Supreme Court, like it's binding, like there's binding.
Yeah, unchanged. Yeah. Like that'd be great. Must be this way forever. Yeah,
this is because of this play. This is defined as a catch now for all time. Right. Here for
robot arms. And by robot arms, we don't mean actual robots.
Like, I think that would be cool.
It just calls balls and strikes. That would be pretty cool too. Yeah, just like.
But don't you, that would be the perfect you? When we were texting about it earlier today, you were like, "If I'm Rob Manfred, robot arms tomorrow, like tomorrow." Or and I wanted to put my own spin on it, so I thought, no, what you do is if you just want to mess with the umpires union, you immediately tomorrow, or well today, you announce you're going to do it in minor league baseball. You're going to do robot balls and strikes.
Yeah, you always got to be like, oh, we're going to try it out in A-ball or whatever. We're going to try it out in Arizona Fall League, and that's when you know it's.
And open. Then it's like, and then you say, starting tomorrow, all games will be balls and strikes will be called by this system that's portable that we can put in place and just let every Major League Baseball umpire know you can be replaced tomorrow, because you know what. At this point, with how many challenges there are in a damn baseball game nowadays, it's basically just all you would need is robots and the guy that's watching all the games in New York. That's all you need, because every other play is challenged. Oh, we're going to challenge this play. Got to challenge that one. And then the umpires aren't making the call. They just get on the headphones, those big, weird, like, aviation headsets to New York.
That aren't even high quality. Like, we've got good headphones these days. Why are they still using those?
I have no idea. But... And then the guy in New York says safe or out or fair or foul or home run or in play or whatever. So just, you can be replaced tomorrow. Reel it in, buddy, especially because a bunch of you are 60-something years old and your reaction time isn't what it was. Your eyesight isn't what it was. We're going to get better umpires. Just get better umpires. That's all. That's all. All right, Rich, you got one more. What do you want?
Yeah, real quickly here, we kind of talked about it a little bit a few weeks ago, but if you haven't been following this, John Wall is very upset at his NBA 2K18 rating. So it was a few weeks ago, Ronnie 2K, who's the one of the community directors, I believe, I forgot what the hell his title is for 2K. John Wall, they've been tweeting out over the past few weeks, like, updates of guys' player ratings, and they'll, say, oh, here's, John Wall's player rating, here's Kyrie Irving's player. They'll do like, a little graphic and throw his rating there. Most guys don't care because they're not John Wall. John Wall cared, though. He got a 90, and I think his response was just, bruh, right?
Yep. Yeah, he quoted it. So he quoted it, quote-tweeted, and bruh.
Yeah, so he was not happy with getting a 90. There was a little bit of a back and forth between him and Ronnie, and it was a little playful, or Ronnie thought it was playful, but
John Wall
wasn't playing. Playful.
John Wall
is very much still upset at that rating. Ronnie thinks he can throw some salt at him, like literally a gif of salt. And kind of joke around a little bit. John Wall, he ain't joking, because then he... So Ronnie 2K tried to reach out to Wall via direct message. And John Wall then responded with, I don't really care for games. I play them for fun. He just tried to say my rating was a 93 when it ended last year. No, it wasn't. It was a 90. Because that's a little bit of a background. Ronnie said, well, last year you were 93. Hey, well, you start out at whatever this rating was, but you can get better by the year. We'll change your rating or whatever. John Wall is not playing that. He goes, no, you told me it was 93. It wasn't. It was a 90 last year. He said, well, so what? Then he sent me a DM after, and he was just like, I'm just playing. And John Wall said, don't try to be friendly with me.
But I don't care. I don't care. I really don't care, but don't try to be friendly with me. Do not look me in the eye.
Here's what my rating was. Don't lie to me, and don't try to be friendly with me. So, John Wall, guess what? You care a lot.
That's called caring.
You care a lot, John Wall, and I don't know why you do. Who cares?
Because John Wall definitely plays as himself in team up.
Absolutely.
That's
we have
absolutely
played against John
why.
Wall in team up, yeah.
Right, because I've played against a few guys, because in team up, when you are the Eastern All-Stars, obviously you can choose modern guys. You've got your John Walls of the world. You've got your Isaiah Thomases of the world. But usually people opt for not John Wall. There's other All-Stars on the Eastern point guard roster that you can choose that are pretty good above that of John Wall. But there's a few times where somebody picks John Wall and they've like clearly defined a play style that is John Wall. I'm like, that guy might be John Wall. And now this basically just confirms
that it is indeed John Wall. But also, like, I can't imagine, like, say you're playing with your buddies or whatever, like, and that's legit too. Like, you could possibly, like, the guys come over and they play. Would you play as yourself? Like, I would never, ever, ever do that.
That's such
I would
a
never
weird,
be like,
yeah.
Oh, here we go. Like, There we go. Like, that's boring. You play with yourself. You are always you. You are always passing to Bradley Beal. Like, have some fun. Be like, you know what? Fuck it. No, I'm the, you know, the Timberwolves. That's cool. Like, like, you can want to be yourself, because then you're just going to get upset at that. You're like, oh, I don't do that. Or, oh, I'm better than that. Oh, I should have made that shot. Like, I'd be very upset.
Right. Or you're going to start tweeting the community manager about how your rating shouldn't be a 90
right, exactly.
overall.
So you shouldn't play as yourself. Go be somebody else, John. Like, or just don't care.
Yeah.
But he cares. He cares a lot.
Has somebody told Colin Cowherd about this yet? Because God help John Wall when Colin Cowherd hears about this. Not showing up to, you know, is he not practicing? Is he not practicing because he's playing these
video games?
Yes, exactly. And he says it that exact way, incredulously. Like, video games?
Is he playing too much Nintendo and Dr. Mario? He still uses Mario. He says Mario and Nintendo still. Like,
yes.
Like, well, maybe he should play less
Nintendo. When he's not learning the Dougie?
Yeah.
Is he playing Mario? Huh? Maybe that's why.
He should work on that jump shot instead of playing Mario and playing the Nintendo.
No, but seriously, John Wall, stop caring about how you're rating
and who cares, man?
NBA 2K. Because does John Wall do a franchise? Does he choose the...
He trades Bradley Beal immediately.
Right, get the hell out of here.
I hate this guy. Fuck him. That'd be pretty cool.
Who does
I would actually enjoy...
Right? A video, like, I want a YouTube series from various NBA players, like, where they take over their own franchise as a GM, and they're like, all right... This guy's got to go. Like, Dwayne Wade gets the Bulls.
Sucks. Yeah, right, yeah.
He cuts himself. It's like, all right.
I don't deserve that contract. That contract's wild. Why'd they give me that contract? No.
That's a great, like, no, I really don't care about this thing, but no, seriously, here are a bunch of facts about it, because he was right.
Here's some precise facts,
He was right when Ronnie said you ended it in 90 last year. John Wall was right in retorting, no, I ended it 93. Quit lying to me, so... You definitely care at least a little bit, John Wall. Maybe you should just ease up. Just ease up a bit. Play some. Why not just play, like, build a My Player? Right?
He also named that My Player John Wall.
Right? He's in the Pro-Am. He's the Pro-Am, like, ask John Wall, like, trying to do John Wall things.
Like, hey, anybody want me on their team? They're like, no. And he's like, no, it's really me, though.
Like, what, a 6'2 point guard? How tall is John Wall? 6'4?
Yeah, I don't know off the hand, but yeah, somewhere around there, 6'2", 6'4".
Like, oh man, 6'4" point guard in Pro-Am. That's not going to fly. It's not going to work. All right, that's a great way to close it out. John Wall, definitely caring. So now whenever you see John Wall on TV, just know that as soon as the game is over, like, he's hopping on 2K, like, in the locker room, on the charter. He is on that game playing as himself. And whenever you run into John Wall being played on All-Star Team Up, you might be playing against the real John Wall, because it's basically because that's really the only game mode where it would matter, where John Wall's rating would matter, is in Team Up. So there you go, playing against real John Wall.
You can get on the chat and make fun of him.
Or always go whenever you're the Eastern Conference All Stars, just always dive for the point guard and choose somebody else that isn't John Wall, and maybe John Wall will be in that lobby and get really pissed off, and then it'll just be I don't know, he'll be young Shaq and just time you out all the time. Because that's what some people do. All right, that'll do it for the 41st episode of this episode of the K&P Show. You can go to kandpshow.com to check out all of our great episodes. You can check out the show at KANDP Show on Twitter. You can follow Rich at Voices Wrestling, where you can go to check out all the great Voices of Wrestling content and podcasts on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. You can follow me at John's Voices. For Rich Craich, I'm John Playtech. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time. We are out. Bye.